Thanks for joining us today for our Thursday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we're continuing our study in the book of Exodus. So let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
Verse 10 of chapter 20 says, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger." I don't know if this is necessarily an order of priorities of what people are worth. You know, you have cattle, then the stranger, but I don't think it means that. Okay, I think he's just listing everything. But he's even saying your beast of burden, let them rest. Let them rest, okay? Everybody gets to rest. Everybody gets to enjoy that it is the Lord's day. The stranger that's in your midst, man, don't do any business with him. Let him or her know when they're coming through. Guess what? No business is going to be conducted on this day. You are being forced to rest whether you like it or not, even for the stranger. And so again, 6 days you gather and work. Seventh day you rest. And when it says your male servants, your female servants, man, I'm sorry, but even as employers, I would love to be able to see if you're an employer that you say, yeah, we're closed on Sunday. We're closed on Sunday. Yes, I think that God is saying everybody should be like Chick-fil-A. You know, and Hobby Lobby. I know we could make a list. I'm just saying, from a hierarchy, it's still Chick-fil-A. All right, it's still the best. It goes, then it goes down to the other ones. But as we'll find out here in a moment, we also know that there are things that God has called you to do, whether you're a police officer, firefighter, work in the hospitality industry, all these other things that requires you to kind of work on a Sunday or during the weekend or whatever. We get that. Okay, we truly, truly understand that. But if you're an employer, if you're a supervisor, and you have people that work for you that you know are believers, and then you have some that are not believers, allow for the believers to either have Saturday night off or on Sunday morning off so they can go worship. Your male, your female servants, let them go so they could go worship somewhere. Now, the root word for Sabbath, Shabbat, means to cease, to rest, meaning it is not a day for business as usual. It's a day that you are to recuperate, take a step back from life's ordinary routines in order to rediscover God's goodness and grace. And, and someone like myself, obviously, I work, okay, on Saturday night, Sunday, and last weekend was brutal. There is such a term as, oh man, I preached my guts out. And you don't know what that means until you have two services on a Friday and then Saturday night and then a sunrise service and then two more on Sunday and then coming back here for prayer and praise on Sunday night. Holy moly, that's a gauntlet in a sense. And yet I also get to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I get to also experience how God takes over, and I just feel like I'm a shell of this person, and he is just using me and everything else, but when he's done, I feel like I've been hit by a truck, and I just go, okay, Lord, I need to rest, and so for me, it's Monday, but sometimes Monday gets interrupted for ministry, and so you just pray, you ask God to give you strength, and you look to try and take some time out somewhere else. And so even though I try and have Monday as being my Sabbath day, sometimes it comes later on in the week, you know. Sometimes that's just the way it works. How did I get there? I don't know. Oh, that's right. All right. Recuperation. This is why I have notes, so I can go back. So the Lord shows that he's very serious about this, because here's the thing. When you take a day in which to worship God and to kind of recuperate from the days that you're working and things like that, what you're saying is that you trust God. He's the one that put this together, this format together. And it shows that you trust God. Now, in Numbers chapter 15, this command was so serious that a man was gathering sticks on the Sabbath. And he was stoned to death. And so I only bring that up because we think that's a small thing. Where's the harm? But because God commands a day of rest, you're showing that you're not being reverent to him. You're showing that you don't trust him. You're saying that you know better than God, and I need to do this to be able to get ahead. Well, when you start thinking like that, then you become God. And now that becomes idolatry. You know what's best. And even though God says to take a day of rest, I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to become a workaholic. Because you think that's what you need to do in order to get ahead. And now you're trusting in yourself, in your own intelligence and your strategy of how to get ahead. You're trusting in yourself and you're not trusting in God. He created you. He knows what's best for you. And being a human being, he knows to have a day of rest is a very, very good thing. A very, very good thing. Now, again, when it says 7 days is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, in it you shall do no work, when you read that, it really comes back to now as parents, as the man, as I lead by example, and I bring my family to church to be able to show this day of rest, this day that is not like the other days of being able to worship and things like that, you're teaching your kids the importance of God. You're teaching your kids to focus on God. And I think that if you're an employer, you're also teaching your servants that, your employees that, when you give that day off and when you don't work on that day. And it's interesting, it also applies to the animals, the beasts of burden, because God cares about all of his creation. Now, to recap here, the Sabbath was a day, the seventh day, a Saturday, a day that Israel was ceased from work. It was a day they were to trust God. It was a day they were to worship God, and they were to worship God with other believers, because as we read, that holy convocation. And so there's redemption, there's deliverance, there's bondage, it's remembrance of where God has brought them from. And the Sabbath was supposed to be a blessing. This is why Jesus would say the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Anytime the Sabbath ceased to be a blessing, something's wrong. If you're going to place on it a bunch of burdens of things you have to do and things like that, then it no longer becomes a blessing, it becomes a burden. I bring this up because the religious leadership, the Pharisees and the scribes, they began to add to the Sabbath. You can only go so far on the Sabbath. You can only walk this distance on the Sabbath. They even got to the point of utter being completely ridiculous. They even had in their rules that if a wall fell on you, I don't know how often that happened in Israel. I think there should be a commandment that everybody should learn, you know, to be a contractor first before you build a wall, whatever it might be. But they said if a wall falls on you, you can only, as a passerby, you can only remove enough rubble to see how that person's doing. And if it isn't going to lead to death, they had to remain there until the end of the Sabbath. Yeah. If it looks like you might die, they can pull you out and then tend to your needs. But, you know, if a wall falls on you and then you go, whoa, Tom, how you doing? I think I broke my leg. Okay, just hang tight for the next 7 hours or so because you're not going to die from that. And we'll get to you at that point. How stupid. How stupid. I want you to go to Mark chapter 3. Jesus shows them how dumb this is. In Mark chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him." The religious leaders are there. They're checking him out. Oh, man with withered hand is here. Jesus is here. What's going to happen? And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." And then he said to them, the religious leadership, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, save life or to kill. But they kept silent. And look what it says. And when he looked around at them with anger, whoa, being grieved by the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out, immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? To be able to heal on the Sabbath? And they're thinking, no. One of the rules is no healing on the Sabbath. Don't you dare. And he heals on the Sabbath. How dare you? In Luke's account, it says, and they left and they were enraged. They were so angry that he healed someone. What is wrong with you? If the question is it okay to do good on the Sabbath? I think the answer is yeah. Tom with the wall on him, leaving him in that state, is not good. In Luke's account before that, he tells them and he says, look, which of you, if your sheep falls into a pit, doesn't go and remove them out of the pit? How much more valuable is a human being that has a wall falling on them than your beast of burden or a lamb falling in a pit? That you could remove from the pit. But a human being that's in agony or needs healing, you can't do that? Are you kidding me? It just shows the heart. Their hearts are all about rules and regulations, and it doesn't matter how that rule and regulation might harm someone, that you're supposed to do that more than anything else. Sabbath is to be a blessing to man. And if it ceases to be a blessing and becomes a burden, then something we're doing something wrong there. Now, the big question is for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Sabbath for today? Yes and no. How's that for an answer? God bless you. Have a great rest of the day. Let's pray. You clear on it? Yes and no. Yes, if you are physically a Jew who has not found their Messiah in Christ. Yeah. That seventh day, which we call Saturday, that's a Sabbath which you need to set apart and do everything that we just read about what the Sabbath day is all about. But what if you're not a physical Jew that doesn't know your Messiah? Well, I think that we're still supposed to remember a Sabbath. It just doesn't have a day attached to it. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Remember, the Sabbath for the Jew was a day that they were to remember how God himself redeemed them, delivered them from bondage. Did God redeem us and deliver us from bondage? He did. He did. But here in Colossians chapter 2, we find out that Jesus is our Sabbath. Our Sabbath isn't necessarily found in a day. It's found in a person. But we are also, I believe, supposed to take a day that we reflect on the person that has delivered us from bondage, as we're going to see here in a moment. Colossians 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, Jesus, having forgiven you all trespasses. So at one time we were dead in our trespasses, but Jesus himself has made us alive with him. And how did he forgive our trespasses? By doing this. Having wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. So this is what's going on here, is that if you've received what Jesus has done for you on the cross, paying for the sin of mankind, and he has taken all your sin, past, present, and future, okay? Upon the cross, he has taken it. He has paid for that. At that point, what has been taken, all the requirements of the law of how you're supposed to be and think and do and all those kind of things of the commandments we're going over right now, all those things that you violated, all those things we are required to do perfectly, has been taken out of the way, having been nailed to the cross. And in doing that, he has disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Satan and his minions, okay? Jesus triumphed over them. He disarmed them. Because you know what Satan does? He goes before God all the time and he says, that Dave Love guy, he's a rat. He's this, he's that. Says all these things about me, which are absolutely true, by the way. He did this, he thought that, you know. He didn't really worship you in spirit and truth, God. And he did, you know, and there's a whole list of things. And if I was up in heaven, guess who's my advocate? The Lord Jesus Christ. It's like you're sitting in a courtroom. He's accusing you of all this stuff. And as he's accusing you before God, you're looking over at your advocate and saying, feel free to intervene at any time. But Jesus doesn't. He allows him to say all of it. So then when he's done, God looks over at your advocate, okay? And your advocate says, those things are all true. To which I want to go, this gets better, right? But I have paid for all those sins. And that's when God the Father says, innocent, justified. Boom. He makes a public spectacle of them. That means that Satan's up there, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, innocent, justified. And there's nothing he can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. It's already a done deal. So because of that, he says in verse 16, so now, because of what Jesus has done, now let no one judge you in food. So go ahead and eat whatever you want to eat. It might get you to see Jesus sooner, but you can still do it. Okay? You still do it. Drink whatever you want to drink. Regarding a festival, all the feasts that we'll get into when we get to chapter 23, I believe it is, in Exodus. And the new moon or Sabbaths, all those things, they're a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. I don't need to do any of those festivals anymore. I don't need to check when the new moon is. I don't need to understand when the Sabbath begins and all that. I don't need to do that. Why? Because it all pointed to Jesus. That's why. And now that Jesus come, I find my freedom in him. No longer all these rules of the law of Moses. Festivals are yearly Sabbaths. New moon, monthly Sabbaths. Sabbaths, weekly Sabbaths. All these point to Christ. The reality, the substance is in a person now. Go to Galatians chapter 4, just over here to the left a little bit. Galatians chapter 4, we read this in verse 9. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. Paul's saying, I'm afraid for you. That you're going back to Judaism. You're going back to the law of Moses. You're going back there when all those things pointed to Christ. And you said that you have received Christ. If you've received Christ, why are you going back and doing those things? It never ceases to amaze me. I love the Messianic movement. I love the Messianic Jews. I love them. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ and things like that. And so I understand when you're a Jew and you come to know Jesus and there's still some a lot of Jewishness that you find in the Word and in Christ and things like that. But when I have a Gentile that starts going to the Messianic church, and the next thing I know is they're wearing the prayer shawl, and they're starting to do all the feasts and festivals again. I'm going, what are you doing? You don't need to do those things anymore. I have no problem doing a Passover meal, a Seder meal, and things like that, so you can see Jesus in that meal. Okay, I have no problem going back at the old festivals and feasts and looking at them and how we see Jesus in that. But to celebrate it, that's silly. We celebrate the person that those things pointed to. I've used this before, but it's kind of like if I have my family here at church, okay, and yet you want to see pictures of my family. I go, why do you want to see pictures? They're right over there. Why do you want to see pictures of them? They're right over there. Why do you want to do this feast that points to the person of Jesus? And he's here right now. Go to him. This is what's being said here. Paul's saying you're going back to this. So when Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know who my Sabbath is now? You know who I rest in now? I rest in a person, and his name is Jesus. That's who this points to, is the person of Jesus. Well, Dave, it seems like from the very beginning, the church started to meet on Sunday morning. Why'd they do that? Well, because it was Sunday morning, the first day of the week, that the disciples discovered what? The tomb was what? Empty. It was on that first day of the week that Jesus shows up and points to himself, and the angels were there before saying, he is risen. He was to rise on the third day. And that was the first day of the week. We see here that Mary, on the morning of the resurrection, Matthew 28:8 and John 20, Mark 16:9 says, now when he arose early on the first day of the week, meaning Jesus, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. Jesus rose on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Second one here, two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Mark 16, as well as Luke 24. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day, meaning the day of the resurrection, to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together, all these things that had happened. And while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus appeared to them. Same day that he rose from the dead. Next one, Jesus reveals himself to the disciples that evening of the resurrection. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, stood in the midst, and said to them, boo! No, he didn't do that. Could have. He could. I would have. But I'm not Jesus. He said, peace be with you. He didn't knock. All of a sudden, he was just there. All of a sudden, he was just there, you know. First day of the week, continuing on in verse 21, on that same night that he was there, says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Not only did it appear to him time and time again, but that was the day that they received the Holy Spirit.
Neither death nor even life. Let nothing ever separate us.
That concludes this Thursday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Listen in tomorrow as we continue our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m., and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock.
The barbecue will begin at 5:30, and then worship in the Word will begin at 6:45. Please be sure to bring a side dish to share.
And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.